shears on Korach.
Started out the Torah, right? Rabbi Shmuel Goldberg, Pashas Korach.
Good morning, everybody. Everybody knows the old joke. The gentleman only had a drosha only on Pashas Korach. And so every time when he came to a drosha, so he said, I've got what to say. So he said the same drosha. I'm not going to say the same drosha, but Korach is very complicated. And the first thing to point out is Rav Dessler. And Rav Dessler says, in general, over the Chatoas HaRishonim, which are mentioned in the Chumash and in Tanakh, could not be taken at face value about those people. Which means we don't really appreciate how great they were really. And of course they made mistakes, otherwise he wouldn't have reported it in the Torah. So then why does the Torah write it in such language? Because Torah is teaching. And if you were to read in the Torah or in Tanakh such a little fine point, you wouldn't get it. It wouldn't make any difference to you and it wouldn't be any practical application. So Rav Dessler says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote down in such a way that we should learn lessons from them. But we're not now making a character study of the person whom we're talking about. We're rather making a character study of ourselves. Now, the background to the Korach incident. It didn't start just at the time when the Torah says, Vayikach Korach. Let's learn like the Rashi, there's a Machlekes, that this Korach incident happened after the Meraglim. So we're talking now in the Chodesh of Elul, more or less, because as you know, the Meraglim came back on Tisha B'Av, and then was the incident, so it must have been around about that time, about Elul. Elul is a time for tshuva, and Elul is a time for reflection. But, now, so where did it start? It started a few months before. Rashi says, Niskane Be'el-Nisius Shalitzofon Ben Uziel. When did Elitzofon Ben Uziel become a Nossi? So it's mentioned earlier on in the Torah, on the sea face, Mishpachas HaKohos was Elitzofon Ben Uziel. So in Mishpachas HaKohos, there was a position which was given to Elitzofon Ben Uziel and Nasi Beisof Elitzofon Ben Uziel. Not fair. What's the problem? There were four brothers, Amram, Yitzhak, Hebron, and Uziel. And so the honors should be distributed somewhat equally. Okay? Amram took the best ones. Moshe and Aaron came from Amram. So the next one on the list, Amram, Yitzhak, I come from Yitzhak. So if there's any other positions going, I want to take it. You want to take it? Sorry. It was bypassed. Yitzhak and Hebron also not. Uziel. Uziel got the position at Zophar Ben Uziel. Furious. But he did nothing about it. You know why? Can you imagine? He comes to the people and says, you know, I want to be the Nossi. Who cares if you want to be the Nossi? What's going to do with us? What do you want to do? What do you want? And he kept quiet. A good politician. He kept quiet. So what happened next? Next came another story. In the Sedra of Balaischa, it says there a whole inauguration of the Levim. A whole story. Take the Levim and bring them. And as you know, you've learnt it, that the Levim were lifted up and down, forward and backward like a lulav. And Korach comes home and his wife looks at him. What's happened to you? He was shaved. It says the Mefurish in the Torah. It says you should shave them. He had no beard. All gone. That's not the man I married. What's going on here? Mrs. Korach. I don't know her name. Mrs. Korach. She was furious. So Korach replied, well, you know, actually Moshe Rabbeinu is also a bit of a Levi. So he also had the same thing done to him. Says, Thomas Navshi impolished him. He did it in order to get a shtech against you. That's what she said. But again, they did nothing about it. Because even if we would go into the congregation and start complaining, they would take any notice of it. Fine. What happened next? Then came the story of the Miraglim. Oh, the Miraglim was a revolt when Klal Yisrael believed the Miraglim, and then Vayivgam Balayla, who we're not going to Eretz Yisrael, we're going to die in the Midbar. That was already a vulnerability. And they spoke against Moshe and Aaron, against them. Aha. Now the ground is set, it's the situation is vulnerable for Klal Yisrael. So Korah comes along, and he comes along with his tinus. How did he manage to persuade 250 people who were Anoshim, who the Torah says, Anshei Shem, they were special people. Tov Shem, Shem and Tov, they were special people. How did he come to persuade them? So Vayikach Korach, the Pasuk says, one pshat in Chazal is he made them a Suda. Right? And the way to a person's head is the Suda, the way a person's stomach. In other words, he made them a Suda. Now, they weren't short of Suda in the Midbar. He didn't. But you're invited to a Suda, you come, and it seems he gave them wine. He made them all excited. Reb Zalman Sarotkin says that that's the pshat in Rashi, although there's other pshatim, that when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Korach, he said, Eis shikros hi lonu. Now the normal pshat is, it's a time of drunkenness. It didn't mean drunkenness. It means we're too involved. We're till Nagir, but over, let's quieten down, sleep it overnight, and then we'll be able to look at it in a fresh way. But if you learn like this, Chazal, that shikros means Baba shikros. And Moshe Rabbeinu included himself in that statement because he didn't want to insult them. So he said, Eis shikros hi lonu. Fine. But that wasn't the only thing that he did. And you know the Rashi, but I just want to explain what the Stipler says. Rashi says he knew that in order to talk to these people, you can't talk them with mundane matters. So what did he do? He got them together and he made a complaint. What's his complaint? We just learned in Parshas Shelach Lecha, the Parsha of Tzitzis. So that was at the forefront. Aha. So he says, Tzitzis? What's the din of Tzitzis? So in those times when they had Techeles, so you know, if you had a talus made of white wool, and then you had a fringe, as you call it in English, the Tzitzis, that was coloured in blue, and that was what the Torah wanted. He says, what would happen if you'd have a whole talus of blue, entirely of blue? Is that chayav tzitzis? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, yes. Aha, so they started laughing at him. What do you mean? Madoch, a talus which is only white, and a little bit of blue, patas it. So kal v'chayav, if it's a whole talus of blue, you don't need that. It's a good kasha. But it wasn't just a shayla. Rashi says, Vehilbishon Tetalisa Shel Techeles. What does that mean? If you've got a shayla, so if you've got a shayla on a chicken, so you have to go to the Rav and show him the chicken. If you've got such a shayla, you don't really have to describe it with practical application by showing him the best. I know what it looks like. I know what blue thing looks like. Just ask me. No. So you say for some reason you have to bring one. Fine. But it says he took 250 talisim of blue hilbishon talisa shekulon techeles. Now I don't know in the Midbar how much techeles they had spared. This is extra. This is not for the mitzvah. So this is not called a shayla. This is called a demonstration. They all came with that blue, without tzitzis presumably, and they asked the shayla. So what's taka the terrace to the kavod chaimer? It sounds a good one. So the Stipler, I saw this week, says the following. If you want to do a simon, it has to be a simon only. What do I mean? A garment is there for wearing it. You wear a garment. It's yours. You're wearing it. You warm yourself. You wear it. You cover yourself with it. If you put that garment on in itself, it won't remind you of anything else. It reminds you of yourself, that you're wearing a nice garment. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He made that you should wear a white garment and a little bit of tcheles in the tzitzit, which is not really applicable in practical terms to your warmth. It's nothing to do with it. So then what's it there for? Ah, it reminds you of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Apparently, I didn't hear it myself on Torah any time. Somebody told the following incident, a true incident. What happened? There was a man who had a meeting with a very important person in the American government. He was involved in investments of trillions of pounds, dollars, lots. I don't know what the meeting was about, it doesn't say, but he came to the meeting and they discussed whatever they had to discuss. And then he noticed that this goy was wearing tzitzis. He was out. Mamish, we climbed the mitzvah, probably out. He looks at him a bit strangely and he said to him, "Are you Jewish?" "Oh, no, no, not Jewish." "Is your mother Jewish?" "No, not Jewish." "So what are you doing with this?" "I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, goy. I believe in God. And if I believe in God, I looked in the Bible, and the Bible says that when you wear these tzitzis, it reminds you of God. A goy." And he told him, "By the way, I've got mezuzahs in my house as well for the same reason." We think about it for ourselves, never mind how this goy. We always wear tzitzis and we've got mezuzahs. Do we think like that? Okay, that's just by the way. Let's proceed. So what happened? So Korach now persuaded these people that there's something wrong with Moshe Rabbeinu's understanding of mitzvahs. He keeps mitzvahs, and Korach also keeps mitzvahs. You think he didn't put on tefillin every day? Of course he did. He didn't look like a rogue. No. So what then? So there was another tactic. So after Moshe Rabbeinu tried to defuse the situation by talking to them nicely, each one in their own way, what happened? He said, all right, so go in the morning. What did Korach do? Says Rashi, "Vayakel alehem Korach all night, b'divrei litzonus. Kol halaylo ahu," instead of sleeping on it, "holach etzel hashvatim." He went to other shvatim, and he persuaded them. "You think I'm doing it for myself?" You're the politician. "Doing it for myself. I'm doing it for the British public." "You're doing it not for himself. I'm doing it for the British public." "I'm doing it for you, not for me." Kuleidom kudum kudashim. What was the litzonus that he said? So there's a medrash. You probably know the medrash, but I'll tell you what the medrash says. The medrash says the following. He gave an illustration of an almona. You know the story? The story was that this almona, this poor widow, had to make a parnosa. So she had a field, and she started working in the field. And at every turn, something went wrong. First of all, she ploughed with an ox and an ass. And the Torah says, came along there, shliach bet, "No, can't do that. Let's sacrifice mishav kabur." Okay, so she released the Shor v'Chamor, and what did she plough the field? So she had two daughters, and those daughters, the Yisraimas, they helped to plough the field. Fine. Came to the end of the crop was now being harvested. Oh, you have to give leket shikur peah, another bit gone. Then it came to the next stage, then you have to give trumas and maestras. Bekitzah, she was left with very little. That's what Korach was saying. So what did she do? Ah, this is a dead loss, I'll sell it. So selling, she bought an animal. I'm going to shecht it. You shechted it? Zroya chayai v'kevo, you have to give to the king. Where are you up to here? What's happening? So she's got nothing left. And that's what she told these people. Korach told these people. So Ryanka Ganinsky says as follows. Well, who was this parlor meeting? Who was he talking to? He was talking to these people of the Torah Midbar. Were they all poor people? It says in the Torah, in the Chazal, in Gemara, in Bechiras, that every person who left Mitzrayim it says, came out with 90 donkeys laden with rechush. 90 donkeys, it's a phenomenon. 54 million donkeys, I think Tracy says it before. Huge amount. So they didn't lose it. They didn't lose it, they didn't gamble it. They had it there. So he says, if it comes to such a situation, what do? Let's say it's true. So you make a magbis, you make a collection, and then all these millionaires here, they can all give to the Salman, and the Salman would be in a good position. Nothing happened. And then he said, this is litsonus for another reason, of course. We haven't got any fields here, we're in the Midbar. The whole dinim which he applied there is only in Eretz Yisrael. So this whole thing is a figment of the imagination. It doesn't exist here. The teretz is litzonas litzona achas doicha mea techokas, as the Masur Tisharim quotes, and that can influence everybody. And you think, says Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky himself, if I would have been there, I would have stood up and protested. You know what? I wouldn't have. Because the litzonas has got such a power that it can smooth over everything, and you are so attracted to it that you forget really the truth. In history, there were Jewish theatres. There was the Abima, and there were other theatres in Poland and in England as well, Grand Palais, and in America. What were these theatres, Jewish theatres? It was in Yiddish, apparently. But the playwrights were Apikorsim, Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom, whoever he was there, and he was able to combine things from Tanakh and from Chazal and use it wrong against Klal Yisrael in such a way they were so attracted to it. And there were lots of people who were affected by it. There was once a story that the theatre portrayed a Jewish war. A Jewish war? Well, war, yeah. So what happens to a Jewish war? They took the Chumash. And in a Jewish war, there's a whole preliminary. And Mashiach Melchama comes along and says, Mi Yoish Asher Bona Bayis, Reich Anuchai, Asher Beisai. And all sorts of exemptions. So they're all standing on the stage, the soldiers. And then, as soon as the first announcement was made, half a dozen left the stage. The next announcement, another half a dozen left the stage. And then by the time it finished, they were left with three Alter Yidden holding their, well, in those days they weren't guns, whatever they were, swords, in the wrong way. And their joke was, and they're going to win the war. And everybody laughed. It was a good joke. The people who heard about it, they weren't necessarily there. They were upset. And they went to, I think, to Reb Chaim Volozhin. I think so. And they told him. He said, the joke is on them. He says, because the truth is that they are the ones who win the war. They're the great Gedolim. They didn't fight, but they are the ones who win the war, he says. The joke is on them. But that was that story which came from Litzonus. Okay, let's take another point. Where's Dosan Aviron coming here? They weren't Levian. They weren't members of the 250. They were not from Bechayrim. They were Taka from Shevet Reuven, it's true, but they weren't Bechayrim. And Ramban says the majority of these people were Bechayrim, who wanted their job back. So where do they come in? So you'll tell me, they were old adversaries of Moshe Rabbeinu. If you look through the Chumash, they started with him right at the beginning in Mitzrayim, and they carried on. They got out of Mitzrayim because it somehow means that they did some sort of tshuva, it looks like. But in the end of the day, Dosan Aviron, Dosan Aviron. They went Mamet Har Sinai, they said Nasim and Ishma like everybody else, but they had it in for Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what you and I would say. Okay. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says that if it wouldn't have been for Dosan and Aviron, Korach would not have continued. He might have started, but he wouldn't have continued. He wouldn't have the guts to continue. Dosan and Aviron gave them the push. And that's what Or HaChaim says, because the right is from the Torah. When it talks about this incident later on in Devarim, it says Asher Hitzu, and it mentions Dosan and Aviron only. It doesn't mention Korach. It mentions Dosan and Aviron. Why only them? Because they are the ones who were really the troublemakers in the end. Fine. How do you deal with Dosan and Aviron? You can't tell them you've got positions. They wouldn't have taken any notice anyway. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, listen, what's the matter with you? He said to them, Dasa Naviron, he tried, listen, come to me, we'll discuss it. A sensible, calm way. Oh, no. They insulted him. They said, we didn't come from a land, we came from Mitzrayim, which was allegedly a land of Zobas Cholav Advash, and now you're taking us into the Midbar, and we're not going to go to Eretz Yisrael. Are you fooling us? Are you fooling us? We're not fooled. Loinale. So Moshe Rabbeinu was really upset. Not to talk to me. You've got a taina. Talk to me. No. So he cancelled the chelik and the karbonas, as you know. And then he suggested to Korach and all his company to take these fire pans. So Machlekes, whether it was told to him by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he just passed on the message to them, or whether it's Moshe Rabbeinu's own idea. Whatever it is, it says in the Torah that he should take 250 machdos, and you and Aaron, ish machdosen, means Korach and Aaron, ish machdosen. But only one is going to win. It's a bit of a gamble. If only one is going to win, it's a bit of a gamble for them to take machdos. They can't all become Kohanim. But still, they took them. How many machdos were there? It says in the Torah, a bit later, 250. It's not right. It should have been at least 251, including Korach. There were 250 plus Korach. Says the Meshech Chochma, Korach was not a fool. Korach did not take a machdo. Korach did not take a machdo. Deep down, he was a bit concerned. He might lose. So he didn't take a machta. The normal pshat, if you don't learn that the Meshech Chochma, it means that Korach was confident because he actually was a Bechor as well. He was a Levi, but he was also a Bechor. B'nei Yitzhak, Korach, v'nefeg, v'zichri. So he hedged his bets. So the Meisah, if you take me as a Levi, good. If you take me as a Bechor, I'm also good. Anyway, that's Korach. What do you do with Dasan and Aviram? So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that everybody should separate, that if the good ones should separate from the bad ones, so Moshe Rabbeinu said, such a shame, these you good people, the Dasan and Aviram, let me try one more, once more. So what does he do? It says in the Torah, Vayokom Moshe Vayelech El Dasan Vaviram. The God Lador, Moshe Rabbeinu, himself is going to the house, to the tent of Dasan and Aviram. And not only him, Vayelech Achrom Zikne Yisrael, all the senior members of Klal Yisrael were all in the same delegation. What he was going to do, so Rashi says, he thought that when they see him, they would get such a pachad that they would relent. That's what Rashi says. Kesava Yisrael upon him. So what happened? They went there. But the Torah uses an interesting expression. It could have said, "Vayelech and Moshe El Dasan Aviram." There's not. It's another word. Vayokam Moshe. What's Vayokam Moshe? He got up. Well, of course he has. He walks. He's got up. Says the Ora Chaim HaKadosh, Tekuma Hoysolai. You would think that such a God Lador, for him to go to these adversaries, is bizoyin a Torah, bizoyin of covered, not for himself personally, but for the covered of the Torah. He shouldn't do it. But, Shiflosi Zu Hagbaosi, you can look it up. The fact that I act in this way, in a low way, in a humble way, that's my greatness. Vayokom Moshe, the Torah looks at it differently. You're not in the person who has ignored the Kavod HaTorah. Faket, that by doing so, you showed the Kavod HaTorah, you showed that you were attacking the honor of which the Torah writes about. Then we come, eventually, okay, so they were, the Bluei Korach were destroyed, they were in the ground. By the way, you know the Gemara in Bava Basra, which tells us that they saw the Ahutaya, that according to the translation, it's an Arab, but I saw in Rabbi Yakonitsky quotes it, that it was Eliyahu HaNavi, or whoever it was, he came and he said to Rabbi Baba Chana, I think it is, I want to, you want to see where the blue Ekerach are, where those that got into the ground? And he took him to a place there, and he heard they were saying something. What were they saying? Now, before I tell you, it says in the Torah, when this happened here, V'chol Yisrael ashes v'masim nosu l'kailam. Now, the normal translation is they ran away. If this earthquake, it's not an earthquake, but if this earthquake happens, that means that we better run away. So they ran away. But there's another pshat. Nosu l'kailam. They ran to hear what they were saying, because they heard they were saying something. At the time, what were they saying? Moshe emes v'serosa emes. Gewaltig. So they knew that where the problem lay, it lay in the fact that they didn't say Moshe, they didn't believe Moshe Emes to Ross Emes, and now they have to admit it. So is that tshuva or not? Is that tshuva? But it says this was a long time after the event when Rabbi Bachana was there. The Gemara Bar Basra is a long time later. So they were still saying Moshe Emes to Ross Emes. Gewaltig. No. So they say it's not true. It says once the person was at that stage, the tshuva doesn't, you can't do tshuva, it's too late. So what then? It says it's an einish. What's an einish? If a person is misguided in himself, and then he sees the truth, the emes, that gives him such a shtech, and it's worse than any other einish. The embarrassment of it. I've made a mistake! But it's too late. And you see that the Torah or HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you, you've made a mistake. And he says, that's the pshat. When we say in the Agada, according to some versions, that the tzaddikim, ayoshim, batraseim, b'roshayim, v'neinim, b'sivah, shchina, v'yir, chalkeinu, imoim. That means in Olam Abba, the tzaddikim will be sitting in special places, and the divine presence will be with them. And I want to be like that. But I'm saying this on the Pesach, it's all right. But he says, and what are the Rishoyim? The Rishoyim see this, but they're not with them, but they see the emes, and that's part of their punishment. That's part of their Gehenna. Okay, what can we do? So now, an interesting thing. After all this, the Torah says, Atem Hamitem Es HaMashem. Excuse me, can't you see what's going on? You are the live people who remain behind. You see what's happening. You heard everything. Why are you saying, Atem Amitem Es Am Hashem? They're obviously not Am Hashem. No. What had happened in the meantime, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Elazar, the son of Aaron HaKohen, to take these machtos, which were obviously not effective, because they were in the burning and they were burnt, and throw out the fire inside them, and make it into a plate. And what do you do with a plate? And you should be at Tzipui Lamizbeach. So anybody who came into the Beis HaMikdash would see this plate, and say, what's this for? And they'll tell them, it's because of this incident. But it's on the Mizbeach. So Klal Yisrael thought, there couldn't have been such bad people. Because the fact that they use it for the Mizbeach shows that it's got some value. That's why they said Atem Amitem Es Am Hashem. But they didn't get the right message, obviously. So the Torah says, what happened? Okay, that they had a punishment. The Srefer. Just briefly, quickly, I know it's time, that there was another thing in the Torah here, which tells us about the confirmation of the Shevet Kehuna, Shevet Leviyah, and that was the sticks. So the question is, why do they need this extra confirmation? They've already had it in all this that we've mentioned. So the Ramban says, it's very good, but it doesn't mention there clearly who would be chosen of Shevet Levi. Ramban says, here he says the following, here, the Mate, yeah, the matter was to tell you, it says, Yeah, so the vote was, Akoponim Ramban says, that Aaron was representing the Shevet Levi in these matters, not himself. That he was the Kohen Gadol, that was confirmed by the Machters. But how do you know Shevet Levi is chosen? So that was the representative of the Machters, which he showed, and Aaron was there as a representative of Shevet Levi. It says so Mefurish. It was Shevet Levi. So Shevet Levi are chosen. So now you've got confirmation that Aaron is a Kohen Gadol, and they are Shevet Levi. Okay, all the best.